Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hiranandani Industries Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by YES Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Udit Gajiwala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone present on the call. On behalf of YES Securities Limited, I welcome you all for the Q4 FY22 earnings call of Hiranandani Industries Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Raghuram K. Shetty, the Managing Director, Mr. Ronak R. Shetty, Executive Director, Mr. Rajkumar Bafna, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Varshit Shah, the Advisor to the company. We'll start the call with brief opening remarks from the management side and then open the floor for questions. Over to you, Mr. Shetty.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all, and welcome to Hiranandani Q4 FY21-22 results call. I take this opportunity to thank all the shareholders for placing their trust in us as we close our financial year after getting listed. I am pleased to report that we have maintained our growth momentum in the full year FY22 by reporting a strong set of numbers. We saw an increase of over 19% in our revenues and an increase of more than 22% in our PAT in FY22. Our continued growth trajectory in yet another financial year and quarter shows the strong and resilient DNA that we are built on. We have a sharp uptick in our technical domestic sales this year, which formed 36% of total sales. Formulation business, forming 31% of our total revenue, grew by 22% in FY22, out of which domestic formulation sales, which was 21% of our total revenue, showed a 17% in FY22, and formulation exports, which account for 10% of our business, showed 23% full-year growth. On the export front, barring the freight and logistical challenges, business at a broader level continued to perform well. On a long-term basis, the sector fundamentals continue to remain strong. As you all know, in October, we had sent our first consignment of our newly registered insecticide molecule to USA, which marked our entry into this highly regulated market. I would like to inform you all that business in this geography is scaling well, and we are hopeful to ramp it up in the future. As mentioned in earlier calls, we intend to capitalize on opportunities generated by various technicals going off-patent in the coming years by manufacturing and supplying generic variants of the technicals in regulated markets of the United States of America and Europe. Our Sarigam technical expansion project is progressing as planned, and we hope to reap its benefits by end FY23. I'm also happy to announce that this year, our Unit 4 recovery plant in Vapi also got commercialized in November 2021. On the research and development front, as communicated earlier calls, five new compounds were being evaluated, two of which are fungicides, two of which are herbicides, and one of which is an insecticide. Two of these are on an advanced stage for exclusive sale in Europe and United States of America. We maintain our annual guidance for FY23 of 18%-20% growth in sales and 18%-20% EBITDA margins, as the company is well poised to build on the strong operational competencies developed over the last few years. I am hopeful the company will continue to grow and surpass new milestones in the years to come. We continue to see FY23 as a critical year in Heronbaugh's trajectory and are optimistic of the future. This concludes my opening remark, and I will now hand over to Mr. Raj Bapna, our CFO, to take you through the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to briefly touch upon the key performance highlights for the fourth quarter and year ended 31st March 2022, and then we will open the floor for question and answer. Let me start by talking about the full year financial of FY22. Revenue from operation were at ₹14,504 million in FY22 as compared to around ₹12,186 million in FY21, registered a growth of around 19%. EBITDA including other income were at ₹2,791 million in FY22 as compared to ₹2,284 million in FY21, registered a growth of around 22%. EBITDA including other income margin were at 19.24% in FY22, well within the guided range. Profit after tax was at ₹1,891 million in FY22 as compared to ₹1,542 million in FY21, showing a growth of around 22%. Now moving towards financial highlights for quarter ended 31st March 2022. Revenue from operation were at ₹3,501 million in quarter 4 FY22 as compared to ₹2,678 million in quarter 4 FY21, showing a growth of 30% year-on-year basis. EBITDA including other income was at ₹673 million in quarter 4 FY22 compared to ₹630 million in quarter 4 FY21, showing a growth of around 6.6% year-on-year basis. EBITDA including other income margin was at 19% in quarter 4 FY22, well within the guided range. Profit after tax was at ₹426 million in quarter 4 FY22 as compared to ₹433 million in quarter 4 FY21. That concludes the update on financial, and now we can open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Yogan Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So can you throw some light on terms of what was the volume for quarter four and for the whole year?
Hello.
Hello.
For the volume for quarter four and the whole year. So.
Yes.
Currently, we do not have such a breakup of as to volume, the total volume that we have for quarter four and the whole year.
Just to answer a question, see, volume growth is slightly not comparable because we have different price points for our different products. For example, one product could be 800 rupees a kg and another could be 1200 or even 3000. So when I optimize my mix towards better margin and higher value products, volume might go down. So optically, volume might look lower to you. And in MPP plant, actually, volume growth is not the right metrics to measure the business. Although we do track it from an individual molecule perspective for our own market share analysis, but a YOY or QOQ comparison would not be ideal because we keep changing our product mix slightly to manage our profitability as well as based on demand-supply metrics. I hope that answers your question.
Sure, sir. That's a bit of clarity there. So basically, what I wanted to understand was the revenue growth that we mentioned. So how much of it is because of the recent price hikes that have happened because of the overall commodity inflation? So if you could then bifurcate, if not through volume, then if you could bifurcate, what was the abnormal part of that growth which you think might, revert, and how much would you think be sustainable part?
The margin front of it is, if you compare to quarter and quarter basis, because we have a margins of around gross margins around 36% out of in quarter four also. But in the, if you compare to year-on-year basis, the last quarter versus this quarter in this, the last quarter was exceptionally good, well in the front of margin because we have a around good product mix at that point of time. But the margin front of you, if you say the inflation number adjusted also, we are guided by around 19% to 20% EBITDA margin in front of next year also.
Right, I got your point on the margins, but I'm just saying, what was the kind of price hike that you might have taken in your top three or five products, between the years?
Exactly number I can't
say. On an average, sir, ballpark figure, would it be 20-25% hike or 10% hike?
It will be range of around 7-9% in that range.
7-9%.
Yes. Since the price hike that happened in the month of October, there's been a price rise in the final product also to the range of 7-9%.
Okay. Also, coming
to clarify, this price rise on a YOY basis comes to on a blended level around 7-9%. So on a QOQ basis, actually, it is kind of flattish on the revenue front.
Yeah.
Okay. So secondly, on our product base, the top 2-3 products that we do, like the Codeine, Hypermethylating Lambda, etc. So we see a lot of growth is coming into these products, and at the same time, a lot of the industry players are also expanding their capacities aggressively. So two things there. First, what is basically driving these growth for these molecules? Because from what we understand, these are very generic molecules and age-old molecules. So what is now driving this high growth for all these products? And also, with all of the players expanding aggressively at the same time, how do you see the market dynamics to play out in coming 1 or 2 years and all these capacities are up there? So if you could shed some light.
Yeah, so basically competition was always there in the product. It's not like people were not expanding earlier. But in the recent years, in the last 2-3 years, there's been no major rise or increase by any of the competitors. Two to three years back, there were a few players which were, they were already there in the product. They just backward integrated themselves. But otherwise, there's no new player or no new expansion coming in the pyrethroid segment.
I think a couple of players, I think Bharat Rasayan, Nejmani, both of them have announced big capexes, and I think a lot of our products are overlapping with them.
So Nejmani
has they are also expanding. So I think more or less a quarter here or there, I think the capacities will come on stream almost a similar time.
So the companies that you have mentioned have been in the product earlier also. And one of the company actually entered the product 2-3 years back, and they've not been expanding now. They've already entered and they've maintained that volume. So the capex that they may be doing may not be in the pyrethroid segment.
Okay. So if I put my question say in other way around, typically what is the kind of growth rate that you're seeing in these molecules? How fast or how, what is the percentage at which these product demand is growing in the market? And is there any capacity which has gone out of the market because of which, you know, there is opportunity for players like us and our competitors? And is China a very big player in pyrethroids, or China is not a very big player in pyrethroids? If you could tell us about that.
So India has been strong in a few set of pyrethroids, and China is strong in a few of the other pyrethroids. So pyrethroid as a range is a big range, consisting of around 16 to 20 products. And expansion in the pyrethroid segment would also depend on how many new products these players are entering in. So we have always been focused on pyrethroid, but we've also increased other than pyrethroid segment over the years. So as a whole, if we see, considering the scope, there's a possibility of 7 to 12% growth that we see in our company. We could be able to grow over the next 2 to 3 years.
7 to 12% growth.
Yeah.
At the industry level.
At the industry level.
And how much are we looking to grow, sir, at what rate?
We are expecting around 12%.
Okay, so we higher range.
For the period. Not on year, means not immediate years, but in the long run, over 3 to 5 years period, we feel that a 10 to 12% growth is possible.
Yogansh, I'll just take this opportunity to clarify that pyrethroid is actually a classification of agrochemicals. So you must be aware that there are different classifications based on the mode of action and molecules, etc. For example, organophosphate is a big, large category. Well, that will have a host of molecules which have different applications on different pests and different crops. So pyrethroid actually cannot see it as a basket. That would be a wrong way of judging it. For example, in pyrethroid also there are more than 12 to 15 molecules as a universe. So this blended growth rates, while you might be targeting as 7% or 12%, actually depend on each molecule, because each molecule has a different demand supply matrix within the competition. It has a different application on crops, multi crops. So actually, that is not the right way to look at our business or this category in general also. So you cannot say that pyrethroids will grow at 7 and we will grow at 12. I mean, we just gave you based on our some working which we have done internally, but actually that is not the right way to look at the business. Please understand that we are a chemical company with a deep moats in our chemical processes. So using those processes, we can actually enter into pyrethroid molecule, non-pyrethroid molecule. So the field is actually very open for us. So rather than saying that it is not a particular chemistry that we are in, when you say pyrethroid as a, it is more of a classification. I hope that helps you understand our business better.
Absolutely, sir. That was very helpful. One last question from my end. In terms of integration, on an average, how well integrated are we in terms of our, say, top 4-5 products? What is the kind of, N-6, N-7, what steps are we producing these? And is there any scope of increasing that backward integration if at all we are at N-1, 2, 3, 4?
So we are actually fully backward integrated in our pyrethroid segment, in our pyrethroid range, where we buy the basic chemicals like bromine, phenol, which are easily available in and around Gujarat. So going further backward would be making phenol and all. So there's no further scope.
That's a different thing.
That's into absolutely basic chemicals.
Yes.
Actually, we are fully backward integrated in a one line till almost basic chemicals. The further backward integration in our large molecules would mean we start manufacturing basic chemicals, which we are not in the business.
Okay. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant only. We have the next question from the line of Karan Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, would you be able to help us with what would be the revenue potential from US going forward?
We had mentioned that over 2 to 3 years, we would be able to touch around $30 to $50 million.
And sir, what would be the entire market size for Pyrethroids or our products in U.S. geography?
It's a big market actually. U.S. is a very big market. So giving a number would be difficult. It should be in the range of, as a whole, considering the entire agrochem segment.
But we are registering non-pyrethroids also in U.S.
As a second market, should be around that.
So, kind to answer your question, I think North America as a segment is, as a geography is around, expected to be around $730 million, $600 to $700 million somewhere in 2025 calendar year basis. That's the various third-party research estimates put it somewhere in between that range.
So would this be our market size, I mean, our target market also, or just the, or the entire universe?
No, so this is for the entire universe. Our market share, our target market would be subgroups within this whole market.
So would it be something around 20-30% of the entire market, the target market?
No, I think we'll have to, I don't think so that would be the number, but we can get back to you on this offline.
Yeah. I think it should be bigger than that. But we do not have a number at present in hand, so we can give that number on a later time.
Sure. And secondly, is there any impact due to China lockdowns, especially because of port lockdowns as well in certain states?
So basically, the shipments have been delayed because of the China lockdown. There are the ports are locked now, and only one or two ports have been working, which is also fully busy and cramped because a lot of cargo is being stuck either for export or import. So yeah, we are facing few issues, but because we are a net exporter, so production-wise there is no issue. And export-wise, whatever issue that we have, we've diverted it to other geographies or other zones.
So we have enough amount of raw material inventory, which would not lead to any blockage in up.
For our products, actually, all the RMs are available in around India only, in around Gujarat only.
Okay. And sir, lastly, if I could squeeze in one, could you dwell a bit about our new product pipeline?
So as it was mentioned, we have in an advanced stage, we have five products, two fungicide, two herbicide, one insecticide, where registration activity is also on a very advanced stage and would come up in Sarigam. Along with it, around 15 to 20 molecules are already under pipeline where R&D either is working on it or it's in an advanced stage where piloting activity is on. A lot of registrations in India as well as in the global market we have, we plan to receive in the next 2 to 3 years, which will help get these molecules on stream.
How many do we plan to launch in the current financial year?
Three.
That's FY20. And any plans for FY24?
24 depends on the registration, but minimum 3 to 5. We'll have, because Sarigam facility will be streamlined, and we should have at least 5. I think 5 to 6 molecules will come in by the end of next year.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join back with you for further questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vicky Wagwani from Yes Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Vicky Wagwani, can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. So thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted some guidance on EBITDA margin related to domestic versus global. The EBITDA margin in domestic business versus global business.
More or less in the same range only, 2 to 3% plus minus.
Okay. Okay.
Vicky, actually,
sir, what are
in the B2B
Yes.
largely, I think it is a wrong way of assessing because the facilities are common in the both the plant as well as the management bandwidth is also common for both the business. But just to answer your question, I mean, largely our gross margins are same, our expenses are also largely the same, in domestic versus exports in the B2B segment. So I don't think there is any much of a major difference in the margins between domestic and exports.
Another question, sir, I have, the percentage dependence on China related to raw material and our exports to the China. Can you quantify some percentage-wise?
So imports from not China, but overall imports is around 14%-15%.
Okay.
Export to China would be in the range of 20%.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Overall.
We have the next question from the line.
20% of the overall revenue.
Sorry. We have the next question, sir, from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand our CapEx plan because we were about to come in Q2 FY 2022. Our Sarigam facility, which is in the technical, was going to come in Q2 FY 2022. That we've postponed it or how is it? Because you mentioned it in the end of FY 2023.
No, it's not postponed. It is ongoing. The process, the project is on. Three projects will be coming in Sarigam. Approximately 165 crores will be this year expense, CapEx. Plus we have some CapEx in the existing site in Vapi also, because we have added some land in the Vapi site also, adjacent to the existing one. So in all, approximately around 165 crores will be this current year CapEx.
In FY 2023, full year, right?
Yes.
Okay. And as of now, we've already done 80 crores of CapEx.
Yes.
Perfect. In FY 2022.
Yes, yes. Perfect.
Okay. And, sir, so even if, because our technical capacities are running at almost 90-95% utilization, then, sir, where will the incremental revenue growth come from, the 18%-20% growth that you are anticipating?
First of all, our unit is multipurpose unit, that fungible. Wherever the demand and supply and the pricing and all, we switch our products in the existing plant. Plus, we have commenced recently one more unit, smaller unit, the unit called Unit 4, wherein some growth will come. In Sarigam also, we have installed few systems like WTG setup, wherein the 30-35 crores will come from there. In the brand segment also, we are growing at approximately 100 crores plus from the brand segment. In all, it is that we are anticipating, and we are sure approximately 20%, 18%-22% growth will come in this financial year.
Okay. And, sir, in the last few calls, we mentioned that there is, you know, demand for technicals globally out there because there's China is out of the market. So technicals, largely everybody procure from China. But our exports have seen a dip. Our export to domestic mix has changed drastically. Now it's at 45%-55%. So what is the reason of?
The export has not come down. Only thing is our domestic B2B has grown. That is why the percentage shift is there because of the domestic market growth. Otherwise, the export is also grown.
Okay. So what is leading to this kind of demand in domestic environment?
Demand in B2B is we are doing well. We have added few products also. So earlier we were into pyrethroids. Now added few products other than pyrethroids. In pyrethroid also, we have increased our capacity that we have, especially for the multinational bigger companies, we are tied up in some products like lambda-cyhalothrin. We have supplied good number in good quantity to United Phosphorus and big companies. So domestic market has grown.
Okay.
So,
right. And so lambda acid is not facing any supply constraints, right? Because that we procure from China.
There is no constraint because we plan our RMs. So there was no problem at all throughout the year.
going forward, will we face any supply constraint for lambda acid?
No, no problem. Okay. We are fully covered for the next 3 months.
Okay. And sir, in this inflationary scenario, as you told, we are fully backward integrated, then we should have seen margin expansion, right? Because the end realizations have improved drastically. And in the entire scheme of things, at every stage, you know, there is some value add. So that, because we procure it, we make it in-house. So we should have seen some sort of margin expansion, right?
It is, see, if you see last 3 years and today, every quarter we have shown some margin expansion. If you go through minutely.
Okay.
But if you see, basic raw materials have also gone up drastically, and yet we've been able to maintain that kind of EBITDA margins. So it's not that only our product prices have gone up, RM prices have also drastically jumped.
But margin also grown. If you see for the last three years, continuously the margin is better year after year or quarter after quarter.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sanket B from KDI Securities. Please go ahead. Yes, sir, I would request you to go off the speakerphone. We cannot hear you very well.
Am I audible now?
A little better, yes.
Yes, so firstly, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of annual performance.
Mr. Sanket, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your voice is again bloating out. If you could kindly come closer to the mic or off the speakerphone. No, Mr. Sanket, we can't hear you. We will move on to the next question for now. We have the next question from the line of Levin Shah from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is on gross margins. So if you look at this quarter, we have had a YOY big drop in margin. So what explains that? And if you look at our annual gross margins, we have been, despite the kind of pricing pressure that we have seen across raw material, we have been able to maintain this 36% kind of gross margin. So what is the difference between this quarter as well as full year numbers?
So basically, if you've seen the raw material prices for our products have drastically jumped. So we did say to the last caller that because we are fully backward integrated, we could also push our product prices to some extent and safeguard our margins. But yet some effect was definitely there. Secondly, even in the branded business, because there is a lot of inventory at the field level, that's why other companies, the competitors, did not raise their prices. That also, to some extent, impacted the gross margins.
Levin, Varshit here. So just from a YOY, just to answer your YOY question, last year we had 40.6% gross margin in 4Q. So that was actually exceptionally higher due to exceptionally higher product mix because of some supply chain issues. The product mix was actually slightly twisted. So actually that has got normalized in our Q1 results itself. If you see from Q1 to Q4, our gross margins, actually they have been in this range only. In fact, even after our last year 4Q call, we had indicated that the normalized gross margins are in the range of 34-36%. So actually, YOY optically it looks a downtick. But even if you see QOQ, our margins have slightly improved actually. So I think net-net, we have been maintaining and optimizing our mix slightly here and there depending on our internal targets on the gross margin and in line with our long-term vision in terms of product penetration, etc. So I think 40% is a slightly unsustainable number because we are continuously adding molecules, continuously doing backward integration in new molecules. It's kind of As a company as a whole, we do see that we'll be able to maintain the current levels, give or take here and there. Secondly, to answer a question on the pricing, you would appreciate our model that we are not into long-term contracts where the pressure is slightly more. So we kind of immediately pass on either the benefit or even in the RM, benefits are also passed on to the consumers, as well as at the same time, even any price increases are also passed on. In fact, if you would appreciate that, if you see not just YOY, but full year basis, we have been maintaining our margins at same level that as last year, especially on the gross margin side. Now, just to give you a sense that when we are maintaining our spreads, but my denominator has increased from a net realization increasing perspective, not for the full year, but more so in Q3 and Q4. Still we have maintained percentage levels. So actually there has been some improvement in absolute spreads as well. It's just that as when you derive it as a percentage, it kind of looks that you have maintained flattish. So and mainly this has come from not from improving or taking exceptional price hikes, but more by optimizing our product mix. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thanks. That does. So now if you look at broadly, we will be in that 34% to 36% kind of gross margin range. And even this year, we might have some exceptional cost in other expenses to the tune of like mainly from logistics, power and fuel. So that also would have played some role in the margins for full year as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So and this our 18% to 20% kind of margin guidance continues for next 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
Right. So then my last question is on the balance sheet front. So this year we have seen a build up in inventory as compared to last year, and the inventory days have gone up if we compare it to last year and even preceding 2 to 3 years. So what explains this build up in inventory?
The major reason is the RM prices have gone up, which makes inventory looks optical higher when we calculate it as a percentage of sales. And another factor was over shipments to Asia Pacific region, lower in quarter four due to the port issue and other logistic issue in that. That leads has some increase in the finished goods inventory despite the demand from the customers.
Okay, but this RM cost increase, which reflects in inventory, but when we look at in terms of number of days, since our sales also has element of higher prices, that should be negated, right?
Yes. But ultimately, the volume remains same, but prices has increased. So value-wise, inventory shown higher on that the valuation front of that. That's why the inventory, if you compare to the value terms, is the increase of the 104 to 105 days in that range. This is the main reason for that.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Two questions basically. One is there was some news on the ban of Delta methylene in India, which the government was thinking. So what is the update on that, and what would be the approximate contribution of Delta methylene to overall revenues, approximate contribution?
So firstly, this government notification which had come that they are planning to ban Delta methylene along with another 30 products in India is an old thing. That was basically because one of the multinational whose product who sells Delta in Europe did not submit all the data required to the European authority, and that's why European authority was planning to ban it. But now that company has already given the documents, and at present, it has not been considered in Europe for ban, and similarly, India also, it's likely not going to be banned. That's what we've got to know. As a whole, India as such is not a very big Delta market. It's mainly exported. So even if there's a ban in India, in worst case scenario, it would not majorly impact our sales.
And what would be the approximate contribution of Delta Messaging to the overall revenues? Just an ballpark figure, percentage.
Individually, it is very tough to give a figure. So, we.
But in single digit or double digit?
Single. It's a high single digit.
Sure. And the other is on. You have guided for about 18 to 20% revenue growth. So if it would be helpful if you can discuss which new molecules or which new products will lead this growth of 18 to 20%.
So we cannot give you names, but we can tell you it is from the fungicide segment.
Okay, and what would be the volume versus price growth in this 18%? So how much of this 18 to 20% would be contributed by volume and by product?
Should be almost 50-50 because we've introduced few molecules in the last year also, which did not form a part in the previous year. So that would be completely a higher volume, higher price thing. And price in the existing pyrethroid also, because of the RM price hike, there was some price element there, even though on the margin front, it is one and the same. So we can say it should be 50-50, both volume and price.
Sure. And lastly, one question before I get into the view. So on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the cost of raw material is like flat. So how do you see the situation in the current quarter ongoing, Q1, in terms of raw material and price inflation?
It should be the same as it was earlier.
Similar to Q4?
Yeah, because prices of our product has not majorly gone up or down, and RM prices also more or less is in that range.
Thank you. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Chintan Patel from Statco Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, what is the reason behind of the decline in top line on a quarter-over-quarter basis?
Because it was a seasonal, because always quarter three is the higher in revenues in terms of citing that.
Quarter three to quarter.
We can't compare to quarter three to quarter four because it's the domestic season mostly happens in the quarter three.
Seasonal
basis on that.
But if you see more or less, in three quarters, unlike most of the agrochemical companies, we have a very equal spread across each quarter. It is not possible to compare quarter on quarter, but yet we maintain approximately similar turnover across quarters.
Okay. So usually your what are the seasonal quarters for us? Like Q4 and
Q3 are mainly Indian season. Then rest of the season actually, we have a lot of registration in the export market also. So we have business across quarters. But in some quarters, it will be higher sales as compared to others. In almost, there'd be more or less a 5% plus minus if you see QOQ, 5 to 10% max.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, what is the total capacity available for technical and formulation for FY23? We recently did the expansion for technical. So what are the total capacity available for the FY23?
So total capacity in an MPP is actually very hard to qualify. I think you must appreciate that because it all depends on the assumption of the mix. I guess by 20% muscle revenue growth will be up, but 25%. It's actually a function of the mix which I want to produce. And capacity is actually a very theoretical number, especially in an MPP. I mean, you would already know that in just two plants, we produce more than I think 10 odd molecules. So it depends on how we play with the mix, plus at the same time how much you're backward integrated, etc. So it's actually very hard to give you an apple-to-apple comparison. I might say that my volume will increase by 20%, still my revenue can go down if my mix is not optimized, and vice versa as well.
Okay. Okay.
Give you a bit some sense on the volume growth for the benefit of the participants. We do some debottlenecking activities regularly, this last year also in FY22 we have done some debottlenecking, which has released around 5 to 7% capacity. And another that unit 4, which the managing director mentioned earlier. So that also has added some capacity. So you can easily assume that anywhere upwards of 10-12% you have added in terms of capacity, assuming the product mix remains largely same.
You have a large capacity. Okay. That is about technical side. Your other question was about the formulation mm-hmm. and packing. We have got a separate unit for formulation as well as for packing, for the ready-made products for Indian market as well as for the global market. Wherein it's a two-year-old plant, it has got a large capacity to cater any requirements.
Okay, understood. And sir, what are the capacity utilization you are targeting for the formulation? Because our formulation is, utilized around 50%, 45%.
60% capacity utilization, and we can enhance it further depending upon the demand. And then the product is seasonal. Sometimes the percentage utilization may be 80% also depending upon the season. But we have a large capacity left to enhance the capacity, increase the capacity.
Our raw material price are correct at least 10% or more than 20%, then what is the sustainable EBITDA margin for us? Sir, let's assume that our raw material price are correct at least 20%. So what is our sustainable EBITDA margin for that?
Sustainable EBITDA margin if raw material price falls by 20%.
20%, so we have to take a price correction for our end product. So what are the sustainable numbers for that?
Across RMs you are saying, it's very tough to answer such a question.
Total EBITDA
margin should go up to
24-25%. Okay,
that's all from my side, sir. If the raw material price is gone about around 10-20%, we have to pass on the benefit to customer also. Okay, so margins will be intact, because last year we saw that raw material prices gone up by around 10-15%, and most of the cost we pass on the customer. Margin minus 1 or 2%.
It entirely depends on the demand supply scenario. Then we'll pass it on. If demand is high, we may increase the price, maybe upward of 25%, something like that. It all depends on the scenario.
Okay, understood. Okay, that's all from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vaibhav Gogate from Ashmore Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Could you please give timeline for commissioning of Sarigam and Saykha? Because earlier you had commented that Sarigam would come online in phases.
Yeah. So we are planning 3 blocks in the Sarigam facility. The first block will be ready by Q3 this year, Q3 end. The second block should be in the first quarter, and I think the third block also will be by second quarter it should be ready. So by September next year we should have the entire Sarigam facility running.
Okay, thanks. And for Saykha,
we've received all the
governmental licenses, and some activity we have already started, but we'll properly plan it post the rainy season.
Oh, got it. As far as domestic formulation business is concerned, what sort of growth do you expect in FY23?
We foresee around 20% growth, 20 to 25% growth YOY.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Puneet Kumar from Reliable Investments.
Mr. Raghuram Shetty, it's a fantastic to know that we have a commitment from you of something like 74.77%.
Thank you.
Number two, we have done exceedingly well in top line and depreciation also. We are seeing extremely good growth, which means that the future is great.
Yeah.
But I have two questions. One is the raw material cost. Somebody you tried to explain, but then you tried to explain it in a manner that you are trying to cover the whole year. We are talking about two quarters, which is this quarter versus last quarter, fourth quarter of year-on-year basis. The raw material cost has jumped up from 58.1 to 65.9, which is quite alarming. And that is the major reason why the EPS has also come down. That was question number one. I'll ask the second question also along with this. You need to look, why did the price go up suddenly yesterday? Because the entire market did not grow as much as probably Heron bought it. So if somebody has prior knowledge of the results or not. Thank you so much.
The first answer question was that the margin front of there, because the comparison of the last quarter Q4 versus this quarter Q4, because last quarter was around gross margins around 41% out of things, and current quarter is around 35 to 30%. The 40% margin was the exceptionally, you can say the exceptionally quarter due to the product mix. Okay. That's why our EPS comes down from compared to YOY basis in that region.
Right.
So almost around 4% gross margin will hit in this quarter. Okay. Second question is the price sensitive, because we don't have any control on the market. What the price is, mostly the depend on the supply and demand. So we can't comment on this question on the price.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rupesh Tatiya from Intel Sense Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Sir, this 80 crore capex we spent in FY22, all of that was towards Sarigam or some of it was towards Vapi and some other sites?
Pardon?
We did 80 crore capex, right, in financial year 22. All of that was towards Sarigam site?
Out of 80 crore capex, around 25 to 30 crores gone to the Sarigam site. And still, Sarigam site needs capex of around 120 crores out of things in that. That will be incurred in this year, sir.
And so where did the balance 50 crore go?
We procure one land around 25 crores at Saika.
Okay.
Other routine capex is there for the balance amount.
Okay. And then next year you have given guidance of 165 crores. So where is the balance 45 crore going towards?
We have guidance around 160 crores. Out of that, 120 crores will be gone to the Sarigam plant. And 30 crores will be our maintenance and routine capex for that.
Okay, okay. Okay. So, sir, this you have given this block-wise commissioning of Sarigam. Some will be in Q3. One block will be in Q3 next year, and one will be in Q1, and one will be in Q2. You have given this.
Right.
What kind of timeline do you see for this site to reach optimum capacity utilization?
It will be the mostly optimum capacity utilization will be comes around quarter one of the 23-24, most of the industry.
all three blocks, sir?
Mostly first phase one will be start from the end of the calendar year 23. But the mostly capacity optimum utilization will be in the, you can see in quarter one of FY 23-24.
Okay. So now, sir, I want to tie this back to, you know, the 12% revenue growth guidance you gave for 3-4 years. So what you are saying is we are at roughly 1400, 20% growth next year takes us to 1700. And then roughly 200 to 250 crore capex, for which you have said 3 to 3.5x asset turn, which is around 700-800 crore. So we are looking at roughly 2500 crore, you know, revenue by, let's say, end of FY 24. Is there some, you know, misunderstanding?
No misunderstanding, because in current year we close around 1450, and next year we target around the same range of around 18 to 20% growth. It will become around 1700 to 1800 crore in this range also.
Correct. And then 24 will be roughly 24 or 25, right?
FY 23-24 will be in the same range also. It will be cross around.
There's one change in the statement. That is, once the capex is done for phase one, it will the optimum utilization of that facility would not come within one quarter. It will take time. So
that is what my first question was, sir. How much time it will take for optimum capacity utilization?
Generally, it take. So initially, what happens is you go within that facility also. There are multiple products coming in, so it will be scaled up in phases, where it will start like first. You can say, because giving a number for such thing is very tough. So it will depend on how comfortable we are with selling, as well as based on the scale up. So slowly that scale up will start as maybe 60%, going 70, 75, like that. So you can say over a year's time, because it's a bigger facility, so over a year time we'll be able to touch somewhere around 75-80% of the capex, of the capacity utilization. So generally, any plant takes time to reach its peak capacity utilization, unlike Vapi, which is an old plant and the products are well set. A new facility would take a longer time.
Okay. So for
Block 2 and Block 3, it will take similarly some time. For some products, it may be quick. For some products, it will take longer time.
Okay. So this, with this capex and next year's guidance, I mean, do 12%, I mean, it doesn't add up. So can we say we will grow 18%, let's say, over next 3 years, 18 to 20%?
Yes. So 18 to 20% is what we have mentioned earlier also, and we are confident of achieving 18 to 20%.
Yeah, that was what my understanding was, sir, but suddenly you said 12% in earlier part of the call, so I was a little bit confused.
12% was for pyrethroids. We foresee that we'll be able to grow our pyrethroid portfolio at a pace of 12% YOY, but there are a lot of fungicides and a few herbicides that we are planning to launch, which will have a much higher growth because the base is small, where we may see a growth of around 40 to 50% YOY.
Okay, understood, sir. Okay, so my second question is, I have an observation. If you look at two companies which are in listed space, which have, you know, a similar product mix as us, they have roughly 35-36% gross margin, and you also.